what this whole series is about, that we would unclutter Christmas. Because Christmas has become, for many people, one of two things. A busy, frenetic activity where you kind of miss out on Jesus, or that's not who you are and you don't quite have those connections. And so sometimes there's deep loneliness, and in that you miss Jesus as well. And so today what I hope to do is to help you see the message within the miracle. To see the message within the miracle. A lot of what we do in uncluttering our lives is to tidy, get rid of all this kind of stuff so that you live in a minimalistic way. What we've been talking about as far as our Christmas is concerned is decluttering our traditions and what we do so that we point what we're doing towards Jesus and use those things. And if you want a great way to do that on your own, on social media we've been posting an Advent reading plan every day, so you can follow along there. But even better than that, if you follow the link, and links don't work in Instagram, so you have to copy and paste, but if you follow the link, it'll take you to the Bible app and the devotional that we're reading through. And that has not only the scriptures, but a brief devotional every day that looks at a piece of our North American Christmas traditions, and either how they're actually rooted in Jesus or how we can begin to point it towards Jesus so that we don't miss the message within the miracle, that we unclutter our Christmas traditions. But today, I want to help us see the message within the miracle by uncluttering the Christmas narrative itself. So, before we do that, I just want to do a nativity quiz. Now, here's what I want you to do. Don't shout out the answers, okay? But do talk about them with the people around you. Just see if you can come up with some sort of consensus. Six questions, and then we'll go through the answers, and the prize is a pat on the back when you walk out. So, all right, number one, what did Mary ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem? So what did Mary ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Talk amongst yourselves, see if you think you can, what did she ride? All right, number two. Where was there no room for Mary and Joseph? Where was it that there was no room for Mary and Joseph? Where was it? Where was that place? All right, number three, what kind of lodging was Jesus born in? What kind of lodging was Jesus born in? Where was he born? See, as these questions go on, you're talking less because you're just like, I know that one. Number four, how many kings came from the east? How many kings came from the east? How many kings came from the east? Five, why didn't baby Jesus cry? Okay, why didn't baby Jesus cry? Why didn't he cry? Okay, what do you think? What's the Bible say? Why didn't he cry? Okay, and finally, number six, where did the wise men give their gifts to Jesus? Where were they when they gave their gifts to Jesus? What place were they in when they presented their gold, frankincense, and myrrh? All right, got the answers locked? Okay, is it important to get the story right? Is it important to know all the details? Well, we'll find that out in a minute, but let's first look at some of the answers to these questions. Have a look.
One December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the Nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, Jeeves.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Your Nativity. That's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey.
neither of the gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room in...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Oh, blast. Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable.
No stable.
Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yippers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh, yeah. A whole posse, even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What? No crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the blooming Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or a cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this, or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this. A baby boy, born of a virgin, this day in the city of David, a savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that!
Music!
All right, so, not going to ask for raising hands or not, but if you're like me, you probably got some things wrong. And when I started to look into the actual Christmas narrative, specifically when I started to, you know, study, when I was in Bible college and things, I was shocked to find out some of the things and traditions we place over that. So is it important if we know the actual narrative? Well, the answer is yes. It's also no. Yes, because it's important that we know what actually happens and that you read for yourself and in your home. You read Matthew 1 and 2, you read Luke 1 and 2, you look what's actually there. You dig deep, you listen to resources, read things. We have a plethora of things. That's a big word for me to use. We have lots of things for us to use. Be careful where you search on the internet because there's lots of crazy stuff out there. But we have great resources here and we can point you towards good things to interact with no matter what age or stage your home is in. It's important that we know that so we can walk in the right way, so we can direct our families and our homes towards Jesus, and so that our hearts are open. So yes, it's important to know, but know because even those who know the details can sometimes miss the message. Even those who know the details can sometimes miss the message. So what is the simple message underneath the miracle of the Messiah born in Bethlehem? What is the message? In order to find the message, we have the benefit of going back in time and fast-forwarding to Jesus speaking the message. And what we'll find is if we look at his description of his message, we'll find it lays underneath the narrative of the Christmas story the whole time. And we can view things with a richness and a depth and an understanding that even the people who went through it at that time didn't have. But even so, some of them received and found the message and allowed God to work in and through them, and others rejected. So what's more important than yes, knowing the actual Christmas narrative, and the no, we can miss it anyway, is our response. And so this morning we are attempting to unclutter the Christmas story so that you can respond to God, because he's reaching out to you. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 3, probably the most well-known verse about the gospel, and we're going to look at verses 16 to 21. Even if you're not churched or you're not in the habit of attending church, maybe you've seen this sign at wrestling or football or baseball, John 3:16. It's a famous verse for a reason. It's a well-known verse for a reason. But if we look at the context of what Jesus is saying his message is, we can begin to lay that underneath the Christmas narrative. Now, in this particular point in time, Jesus is speaking to a Jewish religious leader. He knows the Old Testament. He knows the Jewish prophecies and the Jewish scriptures. He follows God the best way he can in the religion of his day. He teaches it, he follows it, but yet he's empty. He's recognized that he has missed something, because there's something missing in his connection to God. Though he knows the Old Testament speaks about a God who loves and saves and rescues and redeems, his heart is still far from God. And so in secrecy and privacy, he comes and speaks to Jesus. And we see him later in the Gospels, once Jesus dies and rises again. He's one of the many who choose at that point in time to follow Jesus. So if there's anyone who's lived in a religious, legalistic system, it speaks to this. And so Jesus says this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." He's not talking about necessarily physical life, although that's played into it. He's speaking of spiritual life as well, that there is a new eternal life to be found in Jesus. Something that's missing, something that Nicodemus recognized, something we recognize, something that those who went through the Christmas narrative in person, really lived it and walked through it, some of them recognized as well. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world. So many people think God is a judge, and he's angry, and he's waiting to take it out on us. Couldn't be further from the truth. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, believes that Jesus is who Jesus said he was and why he came to die, to live, die, and rise again. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. The judgment comes on ourselves by our own behavior and actions, by our desire to say, "I'm in charge and not you." And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light, Jesus Christ, came into the world. But the people loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. What is the simple, uncluttered message of Jesus? Love, life, light. If you can remember those three things, you can peek through all the clutter in the Christmas narrative and find the message within the miracle. Love, life, and light. Love. God so loved that he sent Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, God exists in three in one: Father, Son, Spirit. I prayed it over Zalia this morning. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All one God, but three distinct personalities and people and roles. And God so loved us that he sent his Son to rescue us. Jesus, fully God and fully human, to live amongst us. Now, we said in the first message in this series, And when we looked at the prophecies, how God prepared for us and how we can prepare to receive Jesus, that people were looking for a Messiah, a prophet, priest, king, who would come in military might, restore the glory of Israel back to its kingdom with a king and overthrow the Roman nation who had overthrown them. They were looking for the wrong thing. That was their grid. That was their perspective. They wanted God's love, but they wanted it in a different way. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus humble as a baby so that we would understand it's not God up there and us down here, that God is with us. That what was prophesied, God with us, Emmanuel, one of the names of Jesus, is true. And God is so loving that he knew exactly when, where, and how Jesus needed to come so that we could receive him. And what do we receive? What does Jesus bring? He brings life and he brings light. These are both realistic things and metaphors at the same time. Jesus brings life. What is life? One of the roles of Jesus is that through him all things were created. And we're going to look at a scripture in a moment that clarifies that. So one of his roles in the Trinity is that God breathed life into all that is through Jesus. And through Jesus, all life is held together. Our breath, our very atoms, it's all somehow held together in Jesus. And when humanity rejected God's relationship, God said, I want to be with you, walk with you. I've created all things for you. You can enjoy anything in this garden, Adam and Eve. Just don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One choice they had to sin. Everything else, blessing and relationship. And when we did that, we cut ourselves off from God. He did not cut himself off from us. And he's been pursuing us ever since. And so the God who breathed life through Jesus Christ into all things, we cut the relationship off. And so God came to us that he might breathe life through Jesus again. Through the Holy Spirit, we might have not a new way of being, not just a new religion, or, you know, we've got this neighbor here and we do a few things different at Christmas than they do. We're all pretty much the same. It's a new and living way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He came to give us life. In the same way, everything was created through him so we can have a new and living way, a new life through Jesus. God loved us so much, he sent Jesus that we might have life and that we might have light. Light is a metaphor in Scripture for purity, holiness, righteousness, God's way, darkness, metaphor for sin, lostness, blindness, pain. And God came into our darkness that we might have light and that we might have life. God loves you. God loves you and he offers you life and light through Jesus. And this was God's plan all along. John says this, John chapter 1, John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning, so before anything was made, the Word, put in brackets, Jesus, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So Jesus is God. He existed. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Life and light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It's kind of like someone trapped beneath the rubble of an earthquake, desperate for air, longing for water and food, scared, worried, feeling their life waning away over the minutes, hours, possibly days, trapped in darkness, gasping for oxygen. And eventually they begin to hear the sounds of something or someone up above digging through the rubble. And at some point in time, something is removed, that one beam of light, just one passageway for oxygen and life comes their way. And that small beam of life, that oxygen, that air, that moment brings light and life to that person. And as the rubble continues to be pulled away from their body, life returns. Hope returns. Everything that had been their perspective before of their world collapsing in and around them, it's changed. What was hopeless is now hopeful. What was dark is now light. What was death is now life. And that's what Jesus did. And he came as a baby so that he could tell us that God loves us. Not a God who comes in might and power and military and tells you, you must do this. I will make you do this. I hate you, and so you will come under my reign. God came as a baby through a miracle with a message that God loves you. And because of his love, he offers in the darkness of your life a light. And in the despair and bad things that are collapsing in and around you, many of which you have no control over, he knows that life in a sinful, broken world is hard. He offers you life. God loved you so much that his plan all along, from the moment humanity rejected him, that he would never reject us, and that he's been pursuing us and offering us a new life. Life and light because of his love. So let's go back to the Christmas narrative then. And if that's the message of love, life, and light, how do we see that underlaid beneath the narrative? Well, we can see it in the response of those who lived it. Consider, first of all, the shepherds. So the shepherds, here they are. Quite a bunch and interesting noses. They, out of nowhere, experienced light. Angelic light filled the skies. A message of life was shared with them, of God's love. And what the scriptures say was not at meeting Jesus, but at the news about Jesus, they rejoiced. Do you get that distinction? They responded in that moment to receive life and light, not when they met Jesus, but just hearing the news that he'd been born. And then they followed the angel's instructions into Bethlehem. What a crazy busy place. And somehow, through the instructions the angels gave, found a young mother and a young father with a baby wrapped in cloths, laying in a manger, in a cave or a stable. And they rejoiced. They put faith in God and found him to be true. They put faith in God's message and found him to be true. Life and light. They went home rejoicing. Their lives changed. They responded by receiving, experiencing God's love through the life and light of Jesus. What about the wise men? Well, the wise men were watching. Somehow they were watching. Some people believe that they came from the old kingdom of Babylon, somewhere in Persia. Now, if you know the biblical story, the narrative, God's people were in captivity for a time. And through the prophet Daniel, a lot was written. God prophesied a lot of things. And so scholars believe that these wise men had adopted some of those, maybe of their quasi-godlike religion, or maybe they just didn't know it all and had these scriptures and were putting things together, and they watched for a sign in the sky. And when they saw it, they were curious enough that they followed. They put together gifts and they followed because the sign in the sky, the star, would signify that there was a newborn king of the Jews. And so they went to Jerusalem, and that's the exact thing they said. They said, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews to be born?" Scholars were called in. People were all in an uproar, and they said, "In Bethlehem." And they didn't just have to walk in faith to Bethlehem. The star went ahead. And they found Jesus in some sort of a home, days or weeks after his birth, in a stable, in a cave, in a manger. And they worshiped him. The wise men followed the light of the star leading to the life of Jesus. Jesus' life shone light in their darkness, and they received the love of God. We don't know what happened to the shepherds. We don't know what happened to the wise men, but we know their response in that moment. They experienced and received the love of God. They saw, recognized, received the message within the miracle that they'd experienced. What about Mary and Joseph? Well, Joseph was a man of integrity, scripture says. And his soon-to-be wife, his betrothed, being a virgin and going through all the Jewish customary things where it was an arranged marriage and there was all sorts of things that had to happen, his betrothed, his fiancée, came to him and said, I'm pregnant. Don't worry. It's not another man. It's God. How do you reconcile that? It was actually through a dream. And God came to Joseph and said, take Mary home as your wife. This is going to fulfill Scripture. Joseph actually had another dream after the baby was born, after Jesus was born, to flee the wicked king who would have him killed. And so they lived in Egypt for a time. It's interesting that in the plot of history that God's people were in slavery in Egypt and had to be rescued out of it, but now God saves them by going in, and God reverses and changes everything so that Joseph finds light and life even in his son. I think this is done, and we'll go with this one.
So even in that, Joseph finds life and light. He experiences God's love through his son. And he has integrity enough to take Mary home as his wife. Mary, young woman, in her teens likely, that was the average age that someone would be engaged for marriage, is met by an angel and told an amazing thing. You'll be the one. As a young Jewish girl, she would have known the stories, she would have known some of the prophecies, but no one had the full picture. And neither did she. She was afraid. And the angel says, don't be afraid. But in the light of that room, physical and spiritual, the messenger of God gives the message. Take heart. Know that God is with you. He will bless you. He will change you. And Mary found life and light. Now that's an example of just four groups of people who responded to the message in the miracle by accepting, receiving God's love, experiencing his life that leads, his light that leads to life, his life that leads to light. But there's others who encounter that too. Think about King Herod, Roman king, given charge over Israel. And when he hears that there's a newborn king of the Jews, what does he do? He rounds up the Jewish religious teachers, the teachers of the religious law of the time, and they say, this newborn king will be born in Bethlehem. And he knows at least a piece of the truth, about as much as the shepherds or the wise men would have known. A piece he'd heard. And instead of desiring to find this king to bow his knee, he says, there is no way there's a king above me. And he uses that information. He uses what he's found out about God. He uses what he's found out about Jesus to be combative and to reject and to seek to kill Jesus. Put him out of his life and put him out of the world forever. Then there's the Jewish religious leaders. Consider their response and their reaction. They've been watching and waiting for a Messiah their whole lives. They had memorized verse after verse, prophecy after prophecy. In fact, when they're asked, where is this Messiah going to be born? They knew right away, Bethlehem. We got to look in Bethlehem. Go there and you'll find the Messiah. If there's a newborn king, he's there. They had the truth. And what did they do? They let it pass by. They didn't pursue. They didn't look for Jesus. They were unmoved. And so today we have the opportunity to respond to Jesus. You have the opportunity to unclutter your Christmas traditions and to unclutter the Christmas narrative. To look through it all and see the message of love that leads to light and life. And you can either choose to be a simple shepherd or you can choose to be a wicked king. You can choose to be one who doesn't have the full picture but place faith in God. And as you discover more and more and go on your journey in faith, that God brings love and life and light into your life. That's called abundant life. He promises for you. God is reaching out to you. Whether you've heard this for the first time today or this is the 100th, whether you're feeling close to God or you're feeling distant, your response today matters. Your response today matters because it's the difference between missing God's voice and what he wants to do in and through you and receiving it and seeing him do something new in you and your family and your friends and your home and your neighbors and your life. It's the difference between him bringing light, life to you so that you can be a light to point to his life and share love with others. Love, life, light. Better to be a simple shepherd than an angry, wicked king. Better to be a seeking wise man than a knowledgeable, know-it-all, religious fanatic, because they missed it too. There is room at the manger. There is room at the cross. There is room at the tomb. There is room in prayer for everyone, regardless of age, from the youngest to the oldest. All come the same way, through faith, through belief. It doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your stage. Doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter how close you feel to God or not. Today he's saying, find the message beneath the miracle. What he's saying is that God loves so much that he offers you life and light through Jesus. Light in the darkness of your current situation. Some of you are going through some incredibly difficult things and you just wish there was a beacon of hope, a beam of light. He's offering that through his spirit and through relationship with him. Some of you are just caught in the darkness and the death and despair of just the world you're living in. Don't be like Herod and the teachers of religious law who remained there despite knowing the truth. Be like the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna and Zechariah and Elizabeth and so many others who responded in that moment to see the message within the miracle, the message of love, of life, and light. And so it's my desire today that you would make space. Make space in your life to find Jesus, to listen, to watch for life, to watch for light. See light. See what he's doing around you and welcome him in and receive life. If you've never followed Jesus before, it's as simple as belief in your heart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if that doesn't make any sense, that's okay. You can come talk to me or talk to someone who brought you, talk to someone you trust, and they can share their story and talk to you about how they placed faith and belief and received life and light and love through Jesus. It's my heart and my desire that this Christmas, and we say this like every Christmas, don't let it pass you by. You know, focus on Jesus. Don't miss what he's doing. But we really mean it. I really mean it. Take time. Make space. Unclutter Christmas so that you can find the message beneath the miracle of the Messiah, so that you experience the love of God that comes through the life and light of Jesus Christ. Would you stand as we pray? Jesus, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for each person who took part. Thank you for each person who is